Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 9, the stanzas 1 and 3. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attendeth thee. Hear my prayer, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee, and what follows. Psalter 9, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 3, the verses 14 through 22. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 3, beginning with verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou wert neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou wert lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We hope to remember in prayer Wesley Niels, who had surgery in Calgary and is still in the hospital, and Angela Cluck, who hopes to commemorate her birthday on Tuesday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy great mercy, in thy patient long suffering, and in thy providence, to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day. And then on each Lord's Day we may remember and commemorate that Christ is risen indeed, that thy dear Son, that he sitteth at thy right hand, and to that end there is still a church upon the earth, and also a church that must and shall be gathered by the work of thy Holy Spirit. And then surely, when we may see the light of another Sabbath day, then thou givest many reasons to acknowledge thee. Oh, if it was only right, and our Lord, that shall only be by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, then it should be a thanksgiving day every day, because we read in thy word that thou hast exhorted thy church, given thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the past week, then thou wast watched over us in the home, at work, on the way, in school, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast showered many a blessing upon us and our children, blessings that so many of our fellow travelers do not have, whom they do not possess, but where there is so much want and suffering in this world. And then in the midst of all the trials of daily life, then in the past week, then we have received many a gift from heaven. Ah, Lord, then it is so necessary that thou granteth eyes to see it, that we may receive a heart to be humbled thereunder, and a tongue to praise thy great and worthy name. And then even more so, when we consider what we have done, were our sins, they are great, were they are manifold, Then also the sins of the past week have been seen by thee, and O Lord, if they have not been washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, then they have all been added to our account. And may that become reality here in the time, and that by thy grace we may be given to seek for that only remedy, oh, for that precious Savior who can save to the uttermost. To that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for a blessing upon the means of grace. Bless thy holy word, that sinners may be converted unto thee, our boys and our girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones. We have all come a week closer to that final meeting with thee, and we cannot meet thee as we are born, because we need to be born again. And, oh, Lord, thou knowest that it is all thy work from the beginning to the end. But thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Wilt thou remember thy children? Wilt thou grant that close life at thy throne of grace? Oh, for thy people to learn that through the meritorial work of thy dear Son, that the throne of judgment, that it may become a throne of grace, with a golden scepter held out, wilt thou grant the further exercises and the further leadings. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, with all those who were called to labor therein. Wilt thou remember thy servants, in a special way all those that are becoming old, and those that are weak, wilt thou strengthen. Remember the students, especially the student, that may speak an edifying word, stand on his right and on his left. Remember elders and deacons. Remember those that may sow the seed on mission fields and other places. Lord, remember our manifold needs. Then we may acknowledge thee. Were an old mother in the past week, where she has underwent surgery, thou hast helped her out and helped her through. Thou hast made all things well, as she may return to her dwelling with her husband. How wilt thou then grant a heart with that true thanksgiving, that the incense of thanksgiving may arise unto thee? Remember them for body and for soul. Remember the daughter that has begun her treatments this week, Lord. Wilt thou help, wilt thou remember, and that the calling may be sanctified, and that the means may be blessed. A little son, he has underwent surgery in the past week, and he remains in the hospital. Then we commend him unto thee. Wilt thou grant further healing, further strengthening, and where he hopes to soon return home to his dwelling. Remember his parents, the family circle, and may their eyes be upon thee. We commend them unto thee for body and for soul. We remember all under the physician's care, with the sick relatives, the different circumstances, they are known unto thee, and may the prayers be multiplied, and may we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. Oh, may it please thee to anoint with fresh oil from above, and may thy word go forth with power divine, and may thy word not only come as thy word only, but as it is written in thy word also with power, and with the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. And may then in this morning, because our souls cleave so to the dust, but may we be elevated above all the cares of the world, and may we be given to hear thy voice. Lord, remember all the listeners. Go then from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. Oh, wilt thou be mindful of us, be then a surprising God. May it be an unforgettable service, oh Lord. Remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And may it please thee to bless us indeed, and that the coast may be enlarged. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 72, the stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips. Their answer speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. And what follows, Psalter 72, the four stanzas, and the extra collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then by renewal we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture we have read together, Revelation 3, the verses 14 through 22, and then for our text words, we shall read the 18th verse. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Our text words speak of the letter to Laodicea, the lukewarm church, with five thoughts in the first place, the church's true condition. In the second place, the church's deluded opinion. In the third place, Christ's precious counsel. In the fourth place, Christ's serious knocking. And in the fifth place, Christ's everlasting triumph. Beloved congregation, we have heard last time the condition of this church. It is true. The Lord has left many good things amongst them, because the sins, the errors that are mentioned in the midst of some of those other churches, they are not mentioned in this church, but in Christ as the Amen, as the faithful witness, where his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth, and where the King has a special eye upon the congregations, upon each member thereof, and that he knoweth most perfectly what liveth in all of our hearts. It is spoken by him who cannot lie, who is the discerner of the heart. And then we have heard that Christ, then he has declared concerning this church, thou art lukewarm, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And now in our second thought, the church's deluded opinion, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That was spoken in sincerity. It was not spoken in a hypocritical way. That was the thoughts that Laodicea had of themselves. Then we could compare this church to a patient that comes under the hand of the physician, a patient that thinks that he is strong, that he is healthy, that there is nothing amiss. But when he comes under the eye of a doctor, then he is given to see that doctor has many concerns. Perhaps that he sees a frown, even that the doctor turns a little pale, that the patient realizes all his own thoughts, that he thought that he was healthy, that there was nothing amiss. And then when the doctor comes with a message that there are serious ailments, that is now a picture of this church. And thus what she has spoken, she meant it, as she has said it in sincerity. Oh, undoubtedly this church, then she has called their lukewarmness, that she was a tolerant church, that she was moderate, that she was not so judgmental, that she was not self-righteous. And now this church, notwithstanding, oh, then we see that also for the church it is so necessary by the first time, but also by renewal, that they receive much light, the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit. We do not read of this church. They were so complacent. They were resting upon what they have experienced. They were satisfied. They were not such poor sinners. They could continue with what they had experienced in the past. Then we do not read of this church. What we read in Psalm 139, the verses 23 and 24, know my heart and try my thoughts, and see if there be a deceitful way with me, and lead me on the way everlasting. And now the thoughts of this church, oh, it was the mercy of the King at the right hand of the Father in his prophetical office, as the foundation, the priestly office, that Christ still sent a letter to this church in their lukewarm condition, that they may be aroused, that they may be given to examine themselves. Then we have heard what Christ has said, that they were poor, that they were miserable, that they were blind and naked. But now the church, they were so well satisfied with themselves. And then, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, undoubtedly also for many of them, because we have heard the past week that it was a city where there was much riches, much prosperity, that the Lord has blessed the labors of their hands, where there was much gold, where there was agriculture, where there was medicine. Thus undoubtedly, then also in the church, that it was a certain truth. But what was now the trouble with their riches and with their goods? Is it now wrong when we may gain riches, when we read the scriptures? Do we not read of those whom the Lord has blessed outwardly, and where they were made a blessing for their neighbor, for the church, for institutions of mercy? When we consider our country, then in former days, then how often those whom the Lord has blessed outwardly, that they had liberal hearts, and that they were used at institutions, hospitals, and other institutions of mercy were built for the welfare of their fellow man. Do we not read after the day of Pentecost that those that were rich, that they were given to sell their farms and lay it at the feet of the apostles? Nevertheless, also a great danger, O Agur, and Proverbs 30. Then he realized the dangers. He realized what a heart he had. And therefore he asked the Lord for neither riches and neither poverty, because he has said if he would become rich, that he would deny and forget the Lord. And if he would become too poor, that he would steal. Have that been those exercises in the season past, congregation, concerning our material goods? And it is such a danger, it is true, of poverty is also a great danger. Let us never ask for poverty, because poverty by itself will not bring us on the right place either. If we think of other countries where there is much poverty, much unemployment, then how many have turned to alcohol and to other means to provide for their family? Nevertheless, there's a blessing when also in an outward way, when the Lord sends trials concerning our daily bread, that we may have a close life with the Lord, found at His throne of grace, begging Him for a raven, that the Lord may help, because prosperity, and we live, and we know, not always easy for families afford to supply for their daily bread. The Lord knoweth all things also concerning this past season. And nevertheless, what a danger it can be when the Lord blesses us, that we become so independent and that we can sound reformed, but that we live as we have everything in our own hands, and that we have not such a dependent life. Because Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But that is not only outwardly, that can also be in the life of the church. Oh, when the Lord begins, then they experience that they are not so rich, because they are poor and needy. Nevertheless, I read in Zephaniah 3, verse 12, I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. What a privilege and what a blessing it is for the true child of God, with everything they have experienced in the way of grace, in the way of further leadings, that they do not become rich and self-sufficient with the gifts which they have received from the Lord, which they have received from the greater Moses, but that they remain a dependent people. Thus, in this church, then they have become rich, also in a spiritual way, resting upon the blessings, the benefits which they have received by grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, even possible a resting upon their justification and what a spiritual pride there can be, and that dependent life that is so missing. And now the church, they were honest. They have said, because Thou sayest. Thus it was not only in their heart, but Thou sayest with their lips, that they were rich, increased with goods, and had need of nothing. Then it is declared that how ignorant that church in Laodicea has become, because the church learns, oh, when they have that close life at the throne of grace, with everything that they have received, then they become more humble and more unworthy than they are given to be wonder. The grace which the Lord has given unto them, oh, when they may be given to see what they remain, when they consider their prayers, their thanksgiving, then they do not have freedom to say that they are rich. Oh, it is true. They are rich in another through that greater Joseph, with those greater storehouses where they are so full. The church is given to experience when they may come with those empty sacks, then the liberality of the greater Joseph. They have never knocked at the door in vain. It is true, the Lord many times makes them to wait, but they learn that they have such a faithful God. Oh, they learn that they have such a rich God who supplies all their needs according to his riches, as they read in Philippians 4, verse 19. But now the church learns that they remain a poor sinner. Oh, everything that they become more than a poor sinner, that they are too much, but then a poor sinner that may be a beggar at the throne of grace. But thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. What a profound statement by that church. And of need of nothing, it is true outwardly. The Lord would say to that church, whom the Lord has provided so abundantly, lackest thou anything? Then they would have to say, nothing, Lord. Thou hast given much more than we deserve, so much more than other people. It was a prosperous city. But now to be given to say, rich and increased with goods, and of need of nothing. What a profound statement for a church. Because when we have need of nothing, when those brothers of Joseph, if they would have had corn, they would have never went to Egypt. And it is true, there's a great blessing when the church may go to the throne of grace by faith on account of that love, that they may hear the voice of their beloved and that they may feel his embrace. But many times the Lord uses need, alas, alas, that there has to be need for the child to be bound to the throne of grace. Oh, what a blessing it is when it may be by that love, but now have need of nothing. Has Christ not taught his church to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? And now for the church to say, I have need of nothing, O church. How is it then with your prayers? Do you not need that praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father? How is it now with thanksgiving? Oh, for the church to say, I have need of nothing, satisfied. I have need of nothing, this church. Do you have no unanswered prayers where you were given to believe that the Lord has given a prayer, and that the Lord has heard the prayer, but no answer yet has found relief? Have need of nothing, no unfulfilled promises. Oh, if we would speak to Abram and Sarah, then they could not say they had need of nothing. Oh, then they would tell us, oh, it is true, there can come a time that that church becomes so silent because it becomes so impossible. But they have not received the promised child. Oh, have need of nothing, church. And Laodicea, do you know not of any riddles that you cannot solve? Knots which you cannot untie, church? Are there not perplexities and ways that are so mysterious, church? Do you not have those contrary ways? Or can you understand all the leadings and the dealings of the Lord with your soul? Church, do you then have no trials and no afflictions, that you are brought in the depth, that you are called upon to consider your heart, why the Lord is dealing thus with you? Church, are there no difficulties, have need of nothing? Church, is there then no persecution because surely when you shall be the salt of the earth and the light upon a hill, then the devil shall not sit still. Then you shall experience what a power and that his devices and that her wiles are many. Church, do you know have no arrows that the devil has shot into your heart? Church, is there not mockery of the devil, and that you do not know what to answer, because oftentimes the devil also comes with the truth? Oh, this church, then they were even so bold, not even to think, but that they were given to say rich and increased with nothing. Then it is clear that they were not so bound to the throne of grace that they could leave the Lord on his place so easy. Oh, have need of nothing, O church. Are there not many souls, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, that are still walking on that broad way to eternal destruction, and there is only one step between them and death? O church, have you then need of nothing? Has Christ then not taught his church to pray, thy kingdom come? Oh, have need of nothing concerning the glory of his name. Also in the time of this church, then there were many heathens, the rulers of the earth, that have not acknowledged the living God. Oh, have need of nothing. And how is it now with us, congregation? This church, they have said, rich and increased with goods and of need of nothing. 'Tis true. I read in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment, that is great gain, a great blessing, when we may be content outwardly with what the Lord gives us. But now concerning our spiritual needs, have need of nothing. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, is that still your condition? That you have need of nothing? Can you come to church Sabbath day after Sabbath day with no need, no spiritual needs? Do you ever go home distressed and tell the Lord your condition, that you say, "Ach, Lord, I have heard thy word. I have heard my miserable condition. I have heard that there is mercy, but ach, Lord, I can continue week after week and each week closer to eternity." Oh, then concerning those things, I have not that true spiritual need, but wilt thou work it by thy Holy Spirit, that I may become a poor and a needy sinner, and that I may be given to cry unto the people of God. How is it with us? Oh, I hope that there are souls, when we have mentioned those different things, that you have said, "Ach, Lord, then I cannot say I have need of nothing, because we shall not repeat what we have said." But especially concerning, oh, are there still souls that are walking over the earth with a burden of their sin, and that is becoming too heavy to bear, and that need a solution, that it is becoming more and more distressful? But now, our third thought, the precious counsel of Christ. Then he uncovers the church, that he may make room for his counsel. and for his gifts. Thus I counsel thee, I advise thee, and then we read, to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. Thus, boys and girls, then we must think of a marketplace. And on a marketplace, undoubtedly you went with your mother to a marketplace, then there are sellers with their goods, and then there are people that buy. And now the marketplace in our text, that is the church. That is where the Lord displays and proclaims the riches of the covenant of grace, the precious things of the Lord. And therefore it is so important that we come to church and that we ask the Lord, because it is a marketplace, the soul's marketplace. That is where the Lord especially converts people. And that is where the Lord instructs and edifies, comforts, corrects his people. Because we read in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Thus the marketplace, that is especially the church. And now the seller, we may say it so reverently. Who was that? We read in our text, I counsel thee to buy of me. Thus that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now concerning buyers, we know in this world that there is much deceit in the way of selling and in the way of buying. And that there is much dishonesty, that the goods which the seller sells, that all the truth sometimes is not told, sometimes something is hidden, sometimes the product is inferior, it is even possible that it is counterfeit. But now in our text words, and therefore our text, that begins, that is also reference to that marketplace. Then Christ is spoken of. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Thus in our text, I counsel thee to buy of me. He is a faithful and true witness. What he has written in his holy word by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that is so true, that is so faithful. Christ does not deceive the children of men, but then in the word of God, those riches of the covenant of grace, they are honestly portrayed. Oh, Christ also in the scriptures, then he has written of the cost and of the difficulty of following him, that there shall be many trials and that there shall be many persecutions and the Beatitudes. Oh, it begins with the poor in spirit and those that mourn, but the eighth Beatitude, and that is the longest one. Blessed are ye when ye shall be persecuted. Thus in this marketplace, what we hope to hear in this morning of that goods that are offered, where Christ counsels us and our children to buy, then it is a faithful testimony of what is declared. Oh, that is such a great difference with the prince of darkness, because also he counsels us to buy much. Oh, think of Genesis 3, when the devil, when Satan has come in the by a serpent, and when he has counseled Eve to take of that forbidden fruit. Oh, then he was not a faithful witness. But then Satan has said and that ye shall be as gods, and knowing the difference between good and evil, then we see that he is a liar from the beginning. And so it is still till this very day, that with the enticements and the temptations of the devil, that he is a liar, that we shall never be happy, that we shall never be satisfied. Oh, the advertisements of the world, then they make us believe, does not mean we may not have anything of the world, but how those advertisements, that many times they are so deceitful, that they tell us that if we may have this or that, then we shall truly be happy. And when we may obtain it, then many times it is but a soul bubble, and we put our eyes upon something else. But now this faithful and true witness, oh, when he counsels us and our children to buy gold tried with fire, then it is a true witness. And when we read in our text, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, then the question is, what must we now understand by that gold tried in the fire? We read in 1 Peter 1 verse 7 that the trial of your faith, though it be more precious than gold be tried in the fire, be to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that gold is compared to faith. But when we consider our text words, then that gold, oh, it is true, the gifts which Christ has merited for his church, they can never be separated from the giver. But when Christ counsels us and our children to buy that gold tried in the fire, oh, when we consider gold, it is a precious metal, it is a rare metal, it is a heavy metal. It is a metal that is sought out after this world. How many in the time of gold rushes have not made great journeys that they may become rich? But in our text, when we read, I counsel thee, thus do you hear a congregation in this morning, then that word comes to every boy and every girl, to every young person, to every older one, I counsel thee. That message comes to us in this morning hour. I counsel thee to buy gold tried in the fire. Oh, then that gold that is spoken of in our text, that is that precious Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he has come from heaven. He has come upon this earth as pure gold, because in him there was no blemish, no original and no actual sin. But surely then he was tried in the fire. He was placed in the fire of God's justice, because he has taken the sins of his people upon him. Oh, how he was tried, especially at the end of his life. Oh, see him then in Gethsemane, that he was tried as gold, that his sweat has become as great drops of blood. Oh, see him then in the hall of Gabbatha, where he was tried under the high priest Caiaphas, where he was smitten, where he was mocked. Art thou the Son of God? Thou sayest it. Oh, see him then gold tried as fire on the cross of Calvary. Oh, then he was placed under the justice of his Father. He has suffered and he has died, but oh, he has come forth as gold, because he was risen the third morning. Oh, when we speak of Christ as being gold, then we must also speak, oh, that eternal love of Christ, is that not as gold? Oh, he was the willing servant of the Father. But when we are counseled to buy gold, then we may also speak, because we have said the gifts can never be separated from the giver. Oh, then Christ, he is merited by his passive, by his suffering, by his death, but also by his act of obedience, then he has merited that gold for his people. Oh, the precious gifts which he has merited for his church, and that is the pardoning of sin. Oh, that is faith, love, and hope. And now Christ, to that church in their lukewarm condition, oh, he hasn't covered them. He has said they were wretched, they were poor, they were naked, they were blind. And now Christ, the church has said we love him because he loved us first. Then the love of Christ, that he comes with such a tender counsel, that he counsels that church in their poor condition, that they may be given to buy gold, tried with fire, young and old. Do we now need that gold? I have read in London, England, that there were two men whom the Lord has richly blessed in business life. And then they were speaking to one another if they would now offer gold to their fellow man on a marketplace in London, how that would go. If they would buy some gold coins worth $12, and if they would offer them for 60 cents, how long it would take for those 100 coins to be bought. And then the one businessman was of the thought that they would very quickly be purchased. And the other one had his doubts, so they made the trial. And there was that businessman with 100 coins worth $12 that he would sell for 60 cents. And then the seller, he has spoken to the people, "People, I have some gold coins. They are true gold, pure gold, and I will sell them for 60 cents. And many people have come past that booth. Many have even handled those coins. But there were many that had doubts whether it was true gold. And therefore they continued. But at the last, there was a man that thought, I buy one and take it home, 60 cents. And then as he traveled home, he looked at that coin and he thought he'd take it to the goldsmith. And the goldsmith said, "Friend, pure gold worth $12. He immediately ran back, but the seller was gone. "Congregation, I do not have to make the application, do I?" Is that still our condition? When that precious gold, when in our text words, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." Oh, on that marketplace of free and sovereign grace, there are many lookers, many viewers, but there are not so many buyers. And why is that? When we are rich, increased with goods, and have never learned that we are poor, miserable, wretched, naked, and blind, then we have not such a desire for the things which are proclaimed in the Word of God. Then in the second place, as many of that people in London, England, they did not really believe in the value of those coins. Oh, by nature, then we see no beauty and that precious mediator can also be. That we are so busy with earthly things, maybe also in this past season, and we are to be diligent. But do we not read in that parable of the sower that the pleasures and the cares of this world, that they have choked the good seed? Do we not read in the supper of Luke 14, when they were invited to that supper, that the one had bought a piece of land that he would like to look at, another one try out his oxen, and the other one has married a wife, too busy. And that perhaps we say another time. That's what Felix has said. In Acts 24, when Paul has preached to him of judgment, righteous, and intemperance, I think we know what he has said to Paul. When I have a more convenient time, then I will call for thee, O young and old. What shall it be? As with that merchant man in London, when that man had a desire to buy more of those coins, I think he had a large debt. And I thought, if I buy so many, then all my debt can be paid. But he came too late. Because our text, that shall not continue forever. That message shall not come to us always. I counsel thee of me to buy gold tried with the fire. That purchase must be made here in the time, in the precious day of grace. Thus there can be so many reasons, oh, when we have not a debt to pay. Then gold does not have as much value when we are rich. Then a gold coin does not mean as much to us as when we have a great debt. How is it with us, congregation? Have we now ever learned our heavenly high debt, and that all our money and the way of repentance experience, that it cannot satisfy the justice of God? Oh, when the creditor may come, and then when gold may be offered, or when other reason can be, that we have nothing to pay for that gold. But boys and girls, I think you know the answer. This gold in our text concerning the wonderful things of grace, what is now the cost? Does Christ now say in our text, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried with the fire? And then he immediately adds a price that we do not read. I read in Isaiah 55 verse 1, without price and without money. Oh, what a work the Spirit has to make us the proper recipient, that we may come to the marketplace of free and sovereign grace, and to come with all our sins. But then I hear someone say, and think, because we must think along, I counsel of thee to buy of me. Thus then it speaks of buying. And how does that now go together? Without money and without price. Then we must understand that, with that buying, there is an interchange in daily life. Then we pay money, and then we receive what we have received. And now on the marketplace of free and sovereign grace, then there is also an exchange. But that is such a wonderful exchange. Then the poor, miserable, wretched sinner, then he comes with all his sins, with all his transgressions. And then what does he receive? Then Christ, he has taken the sins and transgressions of his people upon him. And then the church receives that precious gold. That is the righteousness of Christ. Oh, what a blessed exchange. Then we would think, congregation, that everyone, that they would want to purchase this gold. Because this gold, that is not only for the time, but that is also for eternity. And our text words is declared, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has paid for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil. Oh, what a blessed marketplace, young and old. May the Lord work mightily with the Spirit, that we may come on that marketplace and desirous for the riches of the covenant of grace. Let us first sing. Psalter 84, the stanzas 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know. And what follows, Psalter 84, 1 and 2. Counsel thee, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Oh, what a wonderful word that word mayest is. That tells us, congregation, that it is possible for each and every one of us. That gold may still be proclaimed. And we never read in the Bible of one that has come with her poverty, with her need, with her debt, that they have been turned away. But now further on that marketplace, because in verse 18 we read of three things, boys and girls, that were on that marketplace. And those three matters we all need, shall it be well, for time and for eternity. And then the second object, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. In these letters to the churches, then Christ has made use of things that were very familiar in the midst of the particular churches. Because in this church of Laodicea, there was much gold. And now concerning the raiment, they tell us that in that city, or in the countryside outside of that city, that there were many sheep with high quality wool, but most of those sheep were black or darkly colored. Thus then that white raiment, that had a special meaning, undoubtedly, most of that people have used the wool from the sheep in that vicinity. Thus there were not so many white raiments. And now Christ, to this church, he also counsels them to buy white raiment that may cover their nakedness. And now the church learns the need for that white raiment, for they learn that through their sins, oh, the nakedness and the shame of their deep fallen Adam, the shame of their sins, and the church shall learn that the raiment that they make themselves, that shall not cover them before the justice of God, that they need an other raiment. Oh, that their shame may be covered. In Zephaniah 3 verse 5, I read that the unjust knoweth no shame. We live in a time that there is not so much shame in the world. And to that end, so much immodesty. But now concerning that spiritual shame, when Adam and Eve has taken of that forbidden fruit, and the Lord has said, where art thou? Then they have taken some fig leaves, covered themselves, and hid themselves. But then they had to come forward, and they were ashamed. And then they have learned that those fig leaves, that they could not cover them from the all-searching eye of the justice of God. Then they have become very guilty with a further uncovering. And now for this church, I counsel thee to buy of me a white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And what does that white raiment now refer to? That refers to the precious meritorial work of Jesus Christ, where he has satisfied justice, where he has obeyed the law, where he has obtained that righteousness for his church, where he has suffered and died, that they may be clothed with the white raiment of the garments of the Lord, as they read in Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The Lord willing, when the Lord granteth it in the coming Lord's day, we may continue. But now in the way of application, I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame may be covered. Thus on that marketplace, then that white raiment may be displayed, and then it is necessary that poor sinners may come, that they may be clothed with that white raiment. And then by renewal, there are many lookers, but there are not so many buyers. And how is that now with us, congregation? Because the counsel thee, that's a word that comes to every one of us. Then Christ also counsels us in this morning that we may come to that marketplace and that we may purchase that white raiment, and then by renewal, there's no price free for those that may come. But why do many not come? Why do the most not come? Then the question is, congregation, have we ever become desirous for those things, those three things that are counseled to buy, gold, white raiment, and eyesalve? Then, of course, when we do not think that we are so naked, that we are not so bad, not as bad as the world, we live under the truth. And when we are unconverted, when we have never become a real and a true sinner, when we have never learned to weep about our sin and about our nakedness, that we are so naked before the justice of God, then we have not a desire and not a need for that white raiment that is spoken of in our text can also be. Because when the Lord begins, then we become ashamed. Then we have to do with the law of God. And then we shall do our best the same as with Adam. Then we know that we cannot appear before a holy, a righteous, and a good-doing God with all our sins. And then what does such a one do? Then he tries to weave his own garment by his good works. Repentance, tears, a text can multiply it out. And then such a one, they believe that they may not come to that marketplace as a naked, as a wretched sinner, but then at least they need to be clothed. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to take that garment of their own doing, that they may be stripped, and that they become so poor and so needy that they are drawn or driven to that marketplace, that they may be clothed with that white garment. Oh, another one. That is nothing to pay, but we have said it, without money or without price. O congregation, what a precious time that is, that day of grace, when that soul's marketplace may still be open, and when the invitations may come, and when we are counseled that we may buy. But there shall come a time that that marketplace shall be closed. And then that gold, that white raiment, and that I self, then we shall not be able to purchase it. And therefore, in this morning hour, then we read in our text, when we read, I counsel thee, that of course means today, does not mean tomorrow. Tomorrow can be too late, but today, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then also at the end of the letter to this church, then it is written, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to that end, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may grant open ears unto us and our children, that we may hearken to the words of the living God. There are so many other voices in this world and of Satan that call unto us. And in our deep fallen Adam, then we have lent an ear unto them. And then we see no need and no beauty in the things which were spoken of in our text. But, ah, Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old, that in this very day, that true need may be born, and where thou hast begun, that poor sinners, that they may be given to come to that marketplace and to receive the precious things of the Lord. Ah, Lord, thou knowest that it is thy work, and to that end, work lovingly and mightily with thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this Lord's day? Gather us by renewal round about thy word in the afternoon hour and in this evening hour, grant traveling mercies. Forgive us of all of our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 420, the second stanza, but let the righteous blessed of yore, a joy in their God as never before, a face victory achieving, their joy shall then unbounded be, who see God's face eternally, their heart's desire receiving, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be Thanksgiving Day services tomorrow at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. The collections tomorrow will be for the church unless otherwise indicated. Psalter 420, the second stanza. Array, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.